ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
I mean, anti-Semitism around the world is growing by leaps and bounds. In fact, some parts of Europe, Jews are told, don't wear a yarmulke, the males. Don't wear anything that signifies you're Jewish, because they're being attacked. It's growing again. Why is this happening? This is my personal belief. I'll show you why I believe that, but this is my personal belief. The Jewish people are going to be the ones that petition the Lord to return. I truly believe that. In Hosea chapter 5, verse 15, into chapter 6, verse 1, listen to what we're told. I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face in their affliction. They will earnestly seek me. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, but he will heal us. He is stricken, but he will bind us up. Think about this. The Lord was raised in glory, right? He says, I will return again to my place till when? Till they acknowledge their offense. Who's the they? The Jewish people. They're going to seek his face. They're going to come to saving faith in the Messiah. And they will call upon the Lord to return, the Messiah to return, when they receive him as Lord and Savior. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 23, verses 37 through 39, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, if Satan destroys the Jewish people, they're not going to be able to petition the Lord's return. Hitler tried to do that, killed over 6 million Jews. But again, Satan's plan was foiled. And as much as the world revolted over these atrocities, again, we see in Europe, even the United States, the Middle East, Germany, around the world, this dramatic increase in anti-Semitism. This persecution against the Jews will continue until the times of the Gentiles comes to an end and the Lord returns to set up his kingdom on this earth. No longer will the Jews be trampled underfoot by the Gentile. Listen to what John tells us next about the nation of Israel and what they're going to bring forth. Look at verse 5 here in Revelation 12. And she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. I know I've read some of these verses already, but I want you to see how this has played out. I've spoken why there's, again, such this hatred for the Jewish people and why Satan wants to destroy them, to destroy the plan of God. And in Hosea, I'm going to add one more verse in chapter 16, verse 2. But let me read the whole thing again, starting in Hosea 5, verse 15. I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face in their affliction. They will earnestly seek me. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, but he will heal us. He is stricken, but he will bind us. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. You know, the Bible clearly says that God became flesh, dwelt among us, paid in full the penalty for our sins, but the Jewish people as a nation rejected him. And so he returned to heaven until they acknowledged their offenses. And it's almost been 2,000 years since their rejection of Jesus. Isn't it interesting? You know, Peter says that one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. Maybe we're 2 days out, right? Almost 2,000 years down the road. And what's going to happen the third day? The millennial reign of Christ. After 2 days, God's going to raise them up. They're a nation again. And eventually they're going to turn to the Lord. But the third day, the millennial king, he's coming back. The Jews are going to call upon him. Remember, Jesus said, you'll see me no more until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of God. So what is Satan doing to prevent this? Well, he's going to use the Antichrist and his forces to try and wipe the Jews out. But make no mistake about it. The Jews are not going to be wiped out and Jesus is coming back. I don't care what people say. In fact, Revelation 1:7, behold, he is coming with clouds. Every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, the Jews. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Matthew 24:30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Man, we long for this day when the Lord returns. This is at the end of the tribulation period. He's coming back to meet us in the air. It's called the rapture of the church. But ultimately, 7 years later, he's coming back to set up his kingdom and we'll come with him. So again, just listen to Revelation 12:5 again. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Jesus Christ was born from the seed of the woman, from the nation of Israel. In his first coming, he was born to die, and he died so we could live. But in his second coming, he's coming to rule nations. In Isaiah 9:6-7, listen to what we're told. This is what we read over Christmas, but this is ultimately looking to the kingdom age. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Okay, there's Christmas. The rest is millennial, right? And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Jesus Christ is coming back to sit upon the throne of David to rule and reign over the nations of the world with a rod of iron. He's fulfilling the promise he made to the Jewish people to sit upon the throne of David. Psalm 2 also speaks of Christ reigning from the throne over the nations of the world. In verses 7 through 9 of Psalm 2, I will declare the decree, the Lord has said to me. You are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and you shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Before this takes place, there was the cross of Calvary, the death and resurrection of Jesus. Then he was caught up to heaven to the throne of God. We see this in Acts 1 verses 9 through 11. After Jesus told his disciples that they're going to be empowered for service by the Holy Spirit, we're told now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Ah, praise God for that. He's coming back. We await the Lord's return for his bride, the church, and we'll meet him in the air, like I said, and ultimately he's coming back to set up his kingdom, and we'll be with him. Now, when this persecution against the Jews, it's going to increase, obviously, during the time of the Antichrist. What are the Jews going to do? Well, let me share these words with you to kind of set the stage for what we're going to be looking at next. This is what one writer said. In spite of all Satan's relentless efforts to prevent it, the woman Israel gave birth to a son, the incarnation of the male child, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, was the fulfillment of prophecy. Israel brought forth the Messiah. The Bible emphasizes that Jesus was of Jewish lineage. He was a son of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Judah, and a descendant of David. Nor will Satan be able to hinder Christ's coronation. He will rule all the nations with a rod of iron during his earthly millennial kingdom. The Messiah will come and destroy all the nations and in his kingdom have dominion over the nations that enter to populate that kingdom. An iron rod is also one that cannot be broken. Just as all of Satan's past efforts to hinder Christ have failed, so also will his future efforts fail. The phrase rod of iron speaks of steadfastness of Christ's rule. He will swiftly, immediately judge all sin and put down any rebellion. Between Christ's incarnation and his coronation came his exaltation, when he was caught up to God and to his throne at his ascension. Christ's exaltation signifies the Father's acceptance of his work of redemption. Satan could not stop Christ from accomplishing redemption, and therefore being exalted to the right hand of the Father as a perfect Savior. In his sermon on the day of Pentecost, Peter declared, God raised Christ up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. But though he is a defeated foe, Satan will not give up. Unable to stop Christ's birth, ascension, or rule, Satan still assaults his people. He has already instigated the genocidal massacre of Jews in Europe, as well as the death of countless thousands throughout history. During the tribulation, Satan will increase his efforts to destroy the Jewish people so that the nation cannot be saved as the Bible promises, and so that there will be none left alive to enter the millennial kingdom. He will seek to kill believing Jews. As always, Israel will be his prime target. Exactly. And that leads us into what it says here in Revelation 12:6. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. God has permitted his people to suffer under tyranny of these rulers, but they've always had great victories, even in martyrdom. They've been overcomers. God's brought deliverance. Remember what Jesus warned the Jews about. What's going to be happening during the tribulation period? And when you see this, what to do? Matthew 24, verses 15 through 22. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountain. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Again, this is Jewish. We can travel all we want. So it's not speaking of persecution against Christians or even the tribulation saints here. This is speaking of the Jewish people who could only travel so far on the Sabbath. He says, for then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So here in Matthew 24, Jesus said that the Jews are going to flee to the wilderness, the mountains, and when they see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. This happens at the midpoint of the seven-year tribulation period. And it's at this point that the Antichrist enters the Holy of Holies and demands to be worshipped as God. When that takes place, I believe Satan enters the Antichrist and all hell breaks loose on this earth. Now he's coming with anger to destroy the Jewish people and they're to flee. Now, for 3.5 years, God says, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take care of you from the Antichrist. It's interesting, as they are fleeing the Antichrist, Satan or the Antichrist sends his forces out, his military, and says that the ground opened up and swallowed up this army. How do you think that's going to make the Antichrist feel? He's going to be even more angry, and he's going to come against the Jews who are living in Jerusalem itself, and he's going to try and destroy them. In fact, 2/3 of the Jewish population will be destroyed during the tribulation period. 1/3 will make. That's how devastating this is all about. Now, I think as you look at the scriptures, I think the area they flee to is Petra, which is located in modern-day Jordan. And it's interesting because Daniel makes an interesting comment, something that we don't think much about, but when you read what's going on, it makes a lot of sense. He says that the area of Edom, Moab, and Ammon will be spared from the attacks of the Antichrist. It's in Daniel 11:41. It says, he shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, But these shall escape from his hand, the hand of the Antichrist, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. You see, the vengeance of the anger of the Antichrist is being poured out. Yet for these areas, Edom, Moab, and Ammon, they're going to be spared. So Ammon, the area of Jordan, that's where the Jews are going to flee to, and God is going to spare them. Isaiah 16, verses 1 through 4. Send the lamb to the ruler of the land, from Selah or Petra to the wilderness, to the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be as a wandering bird thrown out of the nest. So shall be the daughters of Moab at the fords of the Arnon. Take counsel, execute judgment. Make your shadow like the night in the middle of the day. Hide the outcast. Do not betray him who escapes. Let my outcast dwell with you. O Moab, be a shelter to them from the face of the spoiler. For the extortioner is at an end. Devastation ceases. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. Again, Selah is another name for Petra. This area was a huge commercial center during the time of Solomon. It's built upon sandstone cliffs. Has a narrow opening, maybe just some 10 to 12 feet wide, and it zigzags back and forth. So you can't get large military people in there. You can't get tanks in there or big vehicles because you can't zigzag around. And today it's a ghost town except for tourists. Those are the people that go there and visit it. But it can hold some 1.5 million people. That's a lot of people. In fact, Gladstone took some 7,000 copies of the New Testament and his book, When Jesus Returns, and place them in protective cases throughout the area for Jews who will take residence there in the tribulation period. Are they still there? I don't know. But one day the Jews are going to flee there for safety, and they're going to turn to Jesus for their salvation. We've read Isaiah 63 many times before. But it's interesting because Jesus, one of the places he comes back to, according to Isaiah 63, verses 1 through 6, is Basra, and his robes are stained with blood. Where's he coming from? The Battle of Armageddon. And he goes to Basra. Why? Because that's where the Jews are who have petitioned him to return. They see their Messiah. And he's going to come to the Mount of Olives. And when his foot steps upon the Mount of Olives, it's going to cleave in two. And there's a river underneath there that's going to flow. And it's going to go into the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea, which has no life, is all of a sudden going to bring forth life. And that's where the Millennial Temple will be set up. You see, right now, there's not enough room for the temple that's described in Ezekiel to place it where Solomon's temple was at. But if it cleaved in two and opened up a big area, that's where it's going. Very exciting time. Now, Revelation 14:20 gives us an idea of what's going on. It says, with God's judgment, the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs, almost 200 miles. Because the armies of the world are gathering together in the Valley of Megiddo for the Battle of Armageddon. And we call it the Battle of Armageddon. I'm not sure why, because it's not really a battle. Because just the words that proceed out of Jesus' mouth like a sword are going to destroy them. And the blood is going to splash up some 5 to 6 feet deep. It's not going to flow 5 to 6, but it'll splash up. Think of it like, I don't know if you've seen the Lucy show where she's making wine with the grapes and she's stomping on them. Well, when you stomp on the grapes, the juice sometimes splatters up and stains your clothes. That's the idea with this judgment. Very, very exciting times, but tragic times because of all these people that have rejected Jesus. Very sad. But this is God's plan of judgment. As he's going to take possession of this earth, he's got to not only remove the usurper, Satan, who he kicks out of heaven with his demons, but he's also going to remove them from the earth, as Satan is going to be put in the bottomless pit until the 1,000-year reign is over. And righteousness will fill this land. Now, again, next time, it's very interesting because we see this war break out in heaven. And that just kind of blows my mind, as I said before. When I think of heaven, I never think of a war breaking out in heaven. See, Jesus is not only going to cleanse this earth, but he's got to cleanse heaven. Remember, Satan comes before the Lord. He's the accuser of the brethren. You know what Joe did the other day? You know what a loser he is? He says he loves you, but look at what he did. And the Father looks at Jesus. Jesus says, it's been covered, paid in full. But he doesn't give up. And he does the same with each of us, doesn't he? He whispers in our ear, you're such a loser. You call yourself a Christian. Look at how you behave. Look at what you did. Look at what you didn't do. And we listen to him. Instead of listening to God who says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Paul said in Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You know what the word nothing means? Nothing. There is absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm tired of listening to Satan. I'm going to listen to what God has said. I love when Jesus started out his ministry. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. God's love is so rich and so deep, but he is going to judge those who have rejected him. And he has given us as Christians the responsibility to bring the gospel message to a lost and dying world. I don't know about you, but I am so excited about the days we're living in. And I think Christians have had it with the way things are going in this world, where we've just been quiet and haven't taken a stand. There's going to be a rally at the Holiday Inn December 17th, and I'll have more details down the road, but Dr. David King is going to be one of the speakers. He's running for lieutenant governor. He's a pastor and a Christian, now running for office. And they asked me to speak at the conference. And I think it's time for us to rise up, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, not to be ashamed of it. People are wondering, what are the answers? We just got to get the right people in office. Yeah, we do. It's great to have them, but we need to be in prayer and we need to seek what the Lord wants us to do. And the bottom line is just share your faith. Talk with people. People are wondering what in the world is going on with them. Hey, this is just what God has said. We shouldn't be surprised by this. We should be excited. See, I'm not fearful of any of this stuff. I'm not worried about any of this stuff. I'm not, outraged by it. I don't like it, but I understand it. And I don't want to be so caught up with all these things that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm excited that God is allowing me to be used to encourage people at this rally that's coming up. Hopefully, as long as I get my visa in Russia at the conference there, and then at the local churches, anywhere, anytime, I get an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with people and to encourage people, I'm going to take advantage. And I'm sure you feel the same way in these. Because I think the time is short. I don't think this is going to continue. Well, I know it's not going to continue on forever. But I think the time is short. And it's time for us to take a stand for what we believe. Why? Because apart from Christ, this is what is coming for people who don't know him. This judgment. And ultimately, the great white throne judgment, where they will be cast into the lake of fire, outer darkness, apart from Christ for eternity. And, Jesus is the light of the world. So what is a world without Jesus? Darkness. They need Jesus. And I know God is saving people. Don't ever think that it's just too late. Nobody wants to hear about Jesus. People don't care anymore. And, when you share with them, they may not receive Christ at that moment, but you put something in their mind to think about, and you never know when all of a sudden their eyes are open, they come to saving faith, and the angels of heaven are rejoicing. Let's be excited about these days. Let's not lose sight of what we're here for. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for your word and how, Lord, your word helps us to understand passages of scripture that seem to be confusing at times. And we're thankful that your spirit opens it up to us through your word. And I just pray, Lord, give us opportunities to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.